5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
7 nights at Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7 nights at Hallis.
Yo, 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 7 nights and Hallis is back on your podcast airwaves. It is your guy Scott once again back at you. My brother Flows is not here this week. I know this has been a theme of since the season started. I know a lot of y'all wondering what's going on. He was on the recap pod last week. He missed the preview pod. He's missing today. He's dealing with a little throat infection, man, so it's very hard for him to talk right now. As you saw from his Twitter video yesterday that he posted, he gave his thoughts on Justin Fields and the criticisms he's been getting. He sounds like Doc Rivers, so he's recovering. He will be fine. Hopefully, he can join me for the Texans preview pod for Friday. He will be in attendance with me at Soldier Field this Sunday for the Bears-Texans game. So at the very latest, he will be back on Sunday. So you're going to have to deal with me. So I don't know if you're upset at that. I don't care. But you're going to have to deal with me. But anyway, it's your boy, Scott. You want to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Barbchair Scott. You can follow 79th and Hallis on Twitter, 79th A-N-D Hallis. That is H-A-L-A-S for those of y'all who can't spell. Follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network, where you can get all our exclusive content. If you want to see my on-the-field videos after the games, if you want to get our preview pods, if you want to get exclusive interviews, subscribe to the $5 79th and Hallis tier. Now, if you're a man or a woman of culture and you want to hear all the great things that we have on the Barber's Chair Network Patreon, which includes summer sessions, the new and improved summer sessions. Flows and Damian check in where they can, but mainly the new crew is kind of me, Pavi, JR Bang, and Merk Murphy. Tune in to that. If you can check that out on the Barber's Chair All Access, $10, you get that. You get Cinema with the Guys, me and Dante breaking down House of the Dragon, breaking down She-Hulk. Check that out, man. We got a whole bunch of content on there. So once again, that's Barber's Chair Network patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. We got three different tiers for you. Check that out. Visit the bcnet.com where you're home for all Barber's Chair related content. And the store, the Barber's Chair store, is coming to you by the end of this year. So look out for that. And of course, my show, I'm Not Gonna Hold You, each and every Thursday on HB Media and Barber's Chair Network. Check that out, man. It's all on bcnet.com. So check it out. We're going to be going live again this Thursday. So check that out. But all y'all here to hear me talk about the Chicago Bears, the beloved, man. After the first 2 weeks, they are 1-1. Everybody in the NFC North is 1-1. So technically, the Bears are tied for first place right now. I'm going to look at it from a positive spin. That's the way to look at it. I got a lot of stuff to get into today. We're going to talk about the game. We're going to talk about what went wrong with the offense, what went wrong with the defense, my personal experience in Lambeau Field. We're going to get into all of that. But I want to start off with the criticism that the Bears quarterback, Justin Fields, has been getting. I put a tweet up last night on a 79th and Hallis page that got a lot of people upset, which I expected. But, you know, the truth hurts. And I tweeted that, it took a while, but we're finally seeing the difference on how a black quarterback, when he struggles, is covered in this town compared to when a white quarterback, when he struggles, is compared to this town. And it's not just Chicago. It's football in general. Look at the way people, talk about Lamar Jackson or any other black quarterback out here. They get graded differently than white quarterbacks because it's racism. Let's just call it what it is. And I know a lot of people who had a problem with this. Don't use the race card, your race baiting, which is white people's favorite thing to say when black people bring out the fact that there is racism involved in these type of things. I mean, prime example, I've seen more Mitchell Trubisky jerseys this year at camp, and Mitch has been gone from this franchise for 2 years now. I saw more Mitch jerseys than I could count at camp. You're still celebrating that bum. We still put bums in high regard, like Kyle Lorton, Jay Cutler, and, you know, guys like that. They still get placed on this pedestal. But you're out here criticizing a young quarterback in just his 12th career start. His 13th game total. You know, this is 12th career start as a quarterback in the National Football League. You're already criticizing him. You know, the turn I saw on Justin on Twitter on Sunday night was ridiculous. And even the comments on sports radio, you know, from not just fans, but a couple media members who I will not name, but you know who you are. And it's unfair to me. It's unfair to Justin. And you got to let this play out, man. And this is a thing where you got to give a kid this. You got to give him a chance. You got to give these young quarterbacks in general a chance, not just Justin Fields. I feel that Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert kind of messed up the way we evaluate quarterbacks. Those two are generational talents. The way they exploded onto the scene is something we haven't seen really that much, and I don't think we're going to see that much again. That's not a realistic growth development for a quarterback. I think a more realistic growth development is something like a Josh Allen, who was not good his first 2 years. The man was just flat out mediocre his first 2 years. Last year, he finally looked good. This year, he looks like maybe the best quarterback in the league. I mean, what he's done these first two games has been incredible. That's called development. That's called coaching. That's called building a right team around him to make sure that he's the best quarterback. It's also because that Bills front office has invested money into getting him a good offensive line, into getting him targets, you know, going out there trading for Stephon Diggs, you know what I'm saying? Going out there and getting him the right pieces to make him look like a great quarterback. So there's a lot of things that go into this. You know, I even saw Bears fans last night during the Monday Night Football game. Oh, why can't Justin look like Jalen Hurts? How quickly we forget. Eagles fans did everything but call him a nigga last year. They was ready to get rid of this kid. I remember the dialogue. I remember the dialogue when he huffed it up in that playoff game against the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady. I remember that stuff. And now everybody is praising him 2 games in. You know what I'm saying? And he's going to have his struggles. This is only his second 4 years as a starter. He's going to have struggles. But what's also the difference here? He's been coached up. He has a good system around him. He's going through the growing pains of being a young quarterback. And on top of that, the Eagles front office has invested in getting him good pieces. He's got a good running game. He's got an offensive line. He's got good wide receivers. Getting A.J. Brown is helping him out tremendously. So that type of stuff takes time. You know what I'm saying? This is his third year in the league, his second 4 years of starter. It's going to take time. He's got 15 more games left. There's going to be games this year that Jalen Hurts goes out there and he's not going to look good. That's just the up and down progress of what it comes to be a young quarterback in this league. Look at Trey Lance. I feel bad for Trey Lance. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of Trey Lance when he got drafted. I'm not very high on project quarterbacks. And I think that's exactly what Trey Lance is, a project quarterback. But I feel for the guy because he threw the least passes out of any of those first round quarterbacks that just drafted in 2021, the least. So he didn't have a lot of football experience coming into his career. Didn't start last year outside of 2 games. And now in just the second game in his first 4 year, the starter, now he broke his ankle. Now he's out for the rest of the year. So now he's got to start all over from scratch next year. So I feel bad for him. It's a very unique, slow process for the quarterbacks. And the fans got to understand that. The fans got to have patience. And I'm talking to the reasonable Bears fan. I'm not talking to the Bears fans who, you know, act like he's not a hard worker or, you know, the things they say about black quarterbacks. And there was also something I saw on Twitter from some other media member wanted to blame Justin because he was out at a quote-unquote nightclub. And he wasn't nothing. He was out at Tao at a restaurant. And by the way, these athletes can have lives, man. These athletes aren't, you know, don't have to be focused on the game 24-7. If Justin Fields wants to go out to Tao and have him a bite to eat or go have him a drink and enjoy being a millionaire in one of the best cities in America in the little nightclub area town on a Friday, by the way. Not like this is the night before the game. On a Friday, by the way, he can do what he wants to do. And for media members out here, you know, clocking him is very lame and it's very goofy, and y'all got to stop that. So it's just a whole bunch of goofy coverage from media, from fans that I've seen about Justin Fields in these, you know, last 24 hours. And this is the same Justin Fields that just a week ago, everybody was praising him for a second half performance against the San Francisco 49ers, and now you're getting rid of. I'm tired of him, man. I just had to point that out. And if you're offended by what I said, then you're the exact people I'm talking about. And that's just really where it comes down to. Now let's go to the next thing about Justin Fields' comments after the game that people got upset. And I feel like it was taken out of context. Now, I know it was taken out of context because I was actually in the room when he said it. Justin was asked the question of, you know, with this type of rivalry, you know, do you feel the fans and their hurt? And he might have, you know, he probably, you know, maybe I know if you asked him again, maybe he would have said it differently. This is fresh out the game. He's upset. I was in that locker room. There was a lot of angry men in that room. And by the way, I got to say this too. I understand the process of locker room interviews. I'm a member of the media. I get it. You want to get initial reactions and things of that nature. But I was in that locker room last week, week one. It was more festive, obviously, because they won. I was in that locker room this week when they lost. I think locker room interviews are an invasion of privacy. Like, on top of that, these men are butt-naked in there a lot of time. They're trying to get their stuff together. They just got pummeled on national TV. They're upset. And I feel like us putting a microphone in their mouth and putting cameras in their face and recorders in their face, I think that's an invasion of privacy. But that's just me. But he said that, you know, basically the players take it harder than the fans. The fans aren't putting in the work. I know some fans were upset at that, and I don't understand why you should be upset at that. We don't put in work. You know what I'm saying? I'm a media member, but I'm also a fan. I'm a fan of the Bears. Oh, I love the Bears. I'm always going to be a fan. I don't care how, you know, successful I get in this media game, how big I get. I'm going to always be a fan of the Chicago Bears. I'm not offended by that. You shouldn't be offended by that. And if you're offended by that, you're irrational. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to hear that. We work hard. We pay money to go to the game. I understand that. You pay money to go to the game, but you're not out here in these film sessions. You're not out here in these grueling practices. You're not out here being chased by 300-pound men every Sunday, risking your career, risking your life. Like, this is a brutal, violent sport. You're not out there putting out the work. So Justin is correct in the fact that, yes, it hurts the players more. Any fan who thinks they hurts more about a game more than the player who's actually playing the game is out of their mind. And on top, all this fan entitlement crap has got to stop. At the end of the day, you watch the games. You watch it. You do it for fun. It's cool. I get it. There's nothing wrong with being a fan, being invested in it, living by it, eating, breathing, sleeping it. I get it. I do that. I understand that. But you don't play the game. So he's not wrong. So get off your high horse and let these athletes be athletes. Now, like I said, if you asked Justin, maybe he could have, you know, been a little nicer with it. But he just got destroyed by their biggest rival on national TV again. This is a franchise that has not beat the Green Bay Packers in 4 years. The last time they beat them was 2018 when they clinched the division at the crib. And they have not, on top of that, they haven't beaten this team in Lambeau Field in going on 8 seasons. Because if they do win next year, it'll be eight years since the last time they won. It was 2015. A lot of stuff has happened. Barack Obama was still the president. The last time the Chicago Bears beat the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau Field. So you got to understand, Justin's angry. Justin's a competitor. He's not used to this losing. Also, let's get that straight, too. He comes from an organization, a program in the Ohio State Buckeyes. All they know about is winning. All he knew about in his time there was winning. So he's got to get adjusted to being the franchise quarterback on a team that historically is losers. And I know Bears fans don't want to hear, but you got to look yourself in the mirror. This is time for some real talk. For Bears fans, that you got to look yourself in the mirror. And I do feel like a little bit of the national media does like to pile on the Bears. 100%, I agree with that. I'm with y'all. And this is what I told Dominique Foxworth a couple weeks ago when he was on the pod. But at the same time, let's stop acting like the Bears give us anything or give the media anything to give them praise for. They don't. This is a historically bad franchise. They still praise 1985. I'm going to be 34 years old in a month. That was 3 years before I was born. That's how long ago it was. This is a team that still talks about Mike Ditka, still talks about the Grabowski, still talks about the 45 defense. You know what I'm saying? That was a long time ago, bro. A long time ago. You know what I'm saying? Run DMC was the hottest rap group at the time when that came out. This is a team that has left, and this is a theme too. We talked about this with Summer Sessions, with the Bulls still being stuck in the Jordan era. If they gave, if the Bears, what you got to understand about the Bears are the charter, they're called the charter franchise for a reason. There is no NFL without the Chicago Bears. There's no NFL without George Halas, the founder of the Bears. He's the founder of the NFL. There's no, honest, there's not even any Green Bay Packers without George Halas, because he put up the money to make sure that that team kept going and they didn't go bankrupt. This is facts. So the Bears are a very important organization. And you think that Roger Goodell likes the Bears being bad? No, he would love for the Bears to be good. You know how great it would be. There's certain franchises. I think there's about 5 to 6 franchises in the NFL that if they're great, the NFL is a great time to be a fan. It's the San Francisco 49ers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Dallas Cowboys, the Oakland, well, now Las Vegas Raiders, the Green Bay Packers, and, of course, the Chicago Bears. When those teams are great, the NFL is just better. It's the original, you know, I don't know if they're the original six franchise, but the six most important franchises in this sport, in this league of the NFL. Roger Goodell would love nothing more than the Bears to be good, but they suck. They've been sucking. Like, let's be real, bro. In the last 20, you know, we're going into 2023. There have been 3 playoff wins, bro. 3. And 2 of them came in the same postseason. So Bears fans got to understand that. That there's no reason to praise this organization. There's no reason to praise them. They have been bad. They suck. Once you understand that, you will get past the high horse you on. And it might sound like I'm talking down the fan. I'm not talking down. Y'all need a reality check. That's what the fact of the matter is. You need a reality check on what the picture of this franchise is, the picture of this quarterback history is. You know what I'm saying? Jay Cutler is the best quarterback in modern history for the Chicago Bears. I watched every start of his 8-year Chicago Bear career. He's the best quarterback. And if that's your best quarterback in franchise history, that tells you a lot about your franchise. So, yes, Justin has a lot to deal with, man. And on top of that, being a black quarterback in one of the biggest markets and where they own, or we eat, sleep, and breathe Chicago Bears football. It's a lot. It's going to take a lot. You know what I'm saying? I'm stressing patience here for the fan base, man. Stop getting mad about every single thing. It's not going to be warm that much longer in Chicago. Go outside, breathe. It's going to be all right. And even look at the grand scheme of things. We're about to get into the game in a minute. If you would have told me camp schedule came out, oh, you're going to be going against the first 2 games, you're going up against 2 Super Bowl contenders in the San Francisco 49ers and the Green Bay Packers. You're going to be 1-1 after those games with 2 winnable games against the Houston Texans and the New York Giants coming up. We all would have took that. We all would have took that. I know it stings more because it's the Packers and we're tired of losing to the Packers. I get it. I was there. I was in the building. I wanted to vomit. That Bears still chuck fan, still suck chant had me in the press box hot. I'm with you. I get you. But at the same time, wake up, man. That's all I'm saying about that. So I'm done talking about Justin Fields' criticism and his comments. Bears fans, man, get a grip. Going on to my next point. Let's talk about the actual game. Now, I was in attendance. This was my first trip to Lambeau Field, my first Bears-Packers game, my first Sunday night football game. It's not my first primetime game. It's my second. I was at Monday Night Football last year for Bears-Steelers. You know, I had to take my media hat off for just for a second as a fan, as a Bears fan. This is my favorite team. I love the Bulls. The Bulls are my first love. You know what I'm saying? You never forget your first love. Bulls are my first love. If it wasn't for Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, I wouldn't have the extreme love for sports that I have right now. I love the Chicago White Sox. They've pissed me off to a level I can't describe this year, but I love the Chicago White Sox. But none of them come to the level of the love I have for the Chicago Bears. So just as a Bears fan, being at a Bears-Packers game, the rivalry, even though the Bears have been owned in this rivalry since Aaron Rodgers has become quarterback, it was just being in there since the history of the rivalry. And just, you know, Packer fans, as annoying as they are, I think both fan bases understand the importance of this rivalry, how important it is to the NFL. I mean, look, There's a Bears-Packers national TV game every year. It don't matter the record. Every year, and it's hyped up because it's a big rivalry. I don't know if it's a rivalry that much between the players as much, because I don't feel like the Packer players look as the Bears as a legitimate threat or anybody to worry about. But the fans are in it every time. And you just being around that energy on Sunday as a football fan was dope to see. Now, as a Bears fan, I mean, want to vomit being in the middle of Packer country. And by the way, it felt like Mayberry out there. You know what I'm saying? Well, at least Wisconsin area. I'll say this about Green Bay, the city. I was kind of impressed. I thought it would be like, I thought the actual city of Green Bay would kind of feel like Mayberry a little bit, but it actually looked like a suburb of like Chicago, at least where the area of where the stadium was at. It kind of felt like I was in Calumet City or something like that. But the surrounding, I was staying in Appleton, Wisconsin. I felt like I was in Ozark. But, you know, they stopped selling liquor at 9. I've never seen an area where after a national primetime game, it was about 11:30 when I was walking out of Lambeau, and there was nobody on the street. The only thing open was CVS and Taco Bell. You know what I'm saying? But from a football perspective, it was just cool to be around atmospheres. It's this historic stadium. I know Bears fans would like to hear that. It's a historic fade. When I walked on that field, when I walked through that tunnel, I could hear Steve Sable in my head, the frozen tundra. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about all the memorable NFL classic moments that have happened here. Like, I'm a student of the game. I love football. So just from that perspective, it was amazing being there. Now, of course, the Bears fan irritated me because it's like a house of horrors for the Bears. Nothing goes right for the Bears in Lambeau Field. Like, nothing. You know what I'm saying? So from that perspective, it kind of sucked. Like I said, the Bears still suck. Chance had me hot. But from an experience aspect, I had a good time on Sunday. I was glad to leave that crappy state, but it was a cool time as a football fan. But overall game thoughts, man, I went and rewatched the tape this morning before I recorded this podcast. It was bad. It didn't look as bad on tape as it felt while watching it. And I think the most frustrating Bears-Packers game I've watched in a long time, because usually just Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers, you know what I'm saying? And you can't do nothing about that. Just Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers. But this game was irritating because if you look at, honestly, the Packers are not a good football team, bro. They are not a good football team. They did nothing that was, you know, crazy. They just kept running the ball. The Bears couldn't tackle. The Bears couldn't stop them, and they just kept running the ball. Yeah, they had no answer for A.J. Dillon, especially no answer for Aaron Jones. You know what I'm saying? And it was just something where they didn't have to session when the Bears just kept beating themselves. Penalty after penalty after penalty. Bears had 3 penalties total last week in San Francisco. They had 3 penalties in like the first 3 minutes of the game. That type of stuff can't happen. And offensively, I think what a lot of Bears fans got to understand, and, you know, is I know there was a lot of love for Luke Getsy during the offseason, during camp. A lot of people love, and that's fine. I'm not giving up on Luke Getsy whatsoever. But what you got to understand is this. Luke Getsy is a rookie play caller. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, we have, you know, this is an offense that's going to take time. An offense that doesn't have the best offensive line. An offense that doesn't have the most talented wide receiver core. You know what I'm saying? And a coordinator, even though he came from a successful offensive season, I mean system, you know, with LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers and everything they had over there. But it's going to take time. It's different when you're the guy calling the plays. So it's going to take time. As messy as it looked on Sunday, it's going to take time. Now, you know, I know there's a lot of people like, well, you know, one of the biggest criticisms we heard over the last almost 30-something now was, oh, the Bears don't trust Justin to throw. He's only thrown the ball 28 times in the first 2 games. Yes, that is a ridiculous number. That's some 1950s, 1960s stuff. Tua threw the ball more against Baltimore on Sunday than Justin Fields has all season. Joe Flacco threw it more on Sunday than Justin Fields has all season. I get that. There needs to be more balance in the offense, and we will get to that later in this podcast. But when I went back and watched, a lot of these drives were deaded before they could even start to even put Justin in the best position to throw the football. Let's look at the first drive of the game, which is a great drive, scripted drive. You know, first drives are good, but always looking, you can always tell how offense looks, how good an offense is after the scripted plays are done. First drive, you know what I'm saying? They had, you know, a couple, you know, good plays. You know, Justin had good throws on that drive, and it led to a rushing touchdown by Justin. Then you get to the second drive of the first half. He gets sacked. Then they do a little screen pass to Darnell Mooney, which lost 4 yards. And we'll get to Mooney in a minute. And then third drive, they have something going. Justin gets a ball to EQ, but he's like 4 feet in front of the line of scrimmage. So illegal forward pass kills the drive, loss it down. You go to the next drive. Demo gets tackled on a loss. And then now they're on another huge third down. Justin doesn't convert a third and 15. I think a big thing that we're not talking about here is the special teams. If there's anything the Bears need Velus Jones back for, is so he can kick return and get this team, get this offense in better positions. You got to have better field position. This team started at the 20 and behind the 20 way too many times in these first two games. That is terrible. If your special teams, if when you're backed up in your own end zone, it's very hard to throw. It's very hard to get a drive going. And that's something we've been seeing consistently in these first two games. And then after that drive, you know, also, Justin's been getting sacked a lot. I don't think the offensive line had a bad game today, per se. On Sunday, I thought they were decent. They were much better in the run blocking. Run blocking, they were phenomenal. The pass blocking is still hurting, still doing a lot. And I think a lot of this is because, you know, it's not the most talented offensive line, but I think it will get much better once Lucas Patrick's hand heals. He get that club off his hand. I mean, he can go back to playing center, the actual position that he plays, and we can keep Tevin Jenkins at right guard. From what I've seen in Tevin, I haven't been disappointed. I think he's been pretty solid. He needs to be at right guard full time. But, of course, they're not just going to have Lucas Patrick out the game. So, one thing the Bears really, really need is for Lucas Patrick to get healthy so he can be full-time at the center position. And we can stop running Sam Mustafa out there. He's terrible. He botched 2 snaps on Sunday. Almost caused a fumble, but thank God Justin recovered it. So, there's a lot of stuff that's been really, really bad with these drives. So, in the first half, the Bears only had, like, 3 drives. You know what I'm saying? So, it's very hard to get into a rhythm, very hard to throw the ball. And then even on, you know, some of these drives, like I'm looking here right now on the second half drives, there's 3, you know, the first drive was a 3 and out because it was a 3rd and 9. Justin's throwing the ball. He had time to throw the ball. Good pass, good blocking by the O-line, but nobody's open. So he had to go a check down to Demo, and they got stopped after like 5 yards. And then the next drive, you get a very, very productive drive. You're moving the football. Nice balance. That drive, the second drive of the second half is something that the Bears need to look at and duplicate just on how balanced it was between the running attack and for the passing attack. There's something they need to do more balance. Now, the problem here, what happened was after the big third down throw to Griffin from Justin to Griffin and to get them into the Packers range, a play got botched off a snap by Sam Mustafa, and Justin's messing up his reads and doesn't see Preston Smith coming. He gets tackled for a loss, and it leads to a field goal. So that promising drive gets stopped because of simple stuff like that. Then we go to next drive. Justin gets a beautiful deep ball, but Darnell Mooney stops running the route. And we saw this twice in this game. At the last drive of the game, EQ stopped running his route, which led to the Justin interception. So this is just on the wide receiver. It's just an overall offensive mess right here. You know what I'm saying? And then after Mooney stopped running the route, Justin gets sacked on the next play. But then you have big runs there. Got to give up to Khalil Herbert. Got to give up to David Montgomery. They're both running like madmen. I mean, David Montgomery had 15 carries, 122 yards. He averaged 8 yards a carry. Khalil Herbert, only 4 carries, but 38 yards and 9 yards a carry. So that was good. But, you know, that drive ended on the shotgun play. Now, here's the thing about the shotgun play, which was irritating as I watched. Number one, it was a touchdown. Let's be very clear about that. It was a touchdown. There's really nothing to discuss. That was a bad review by the officials. It was bad. But at the same time, you know you're not getting that call in Lambeau Field. So you have to be smarter. When you have a drive with David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert, we're doing so well to get you in that position, especially after Darnell Mooney started running his route, especially after Justin got sacked, to get you into Packer territory, give it to one. It's 1 yard. Even though some of the possessions where David Montgomery was getting tackled, he still got 2 yards. Go get a yard. And if you don't want to give it to the running back, do the traditional quarterback sneak, bro. The shotgun makes no sense to me in that particular situation. It's 1 yard. Keep it simple, stupid. But yes, it was a touchdown. But knowing that, knowing the situation you're in, knowing building you're in, you're not going to get those calls in Lambeau Field. Got to be smarter. You got to play smarter football. The Bears played great, smart football in the second half last week against the Niners. They did not play that this week at all. And if you look at some of the, you know, I'll say like, if you look at the defensive side of the ball, I want to talk about the defensive side of the ball. There's some good things, mainly bad things, but there was good things. There's two good things I will name what the defense did on Sunday night. One, I said in the preview pod, you got to get Aaron Rodgers. They did a great job. They put pressure on Aaron all night, had a lot of, he was in his faces all night. Got to give it to Travis Gibson. Got to give it to Angelo Blackson. Got to give up to Robert Quinn. This defensive line sacked Aaron Rodgers three times. Two of them were from Travis Gibson, one from Robert Quinn. And they also forced a fumble. They actually forced two fumbles, but the second one was recovered by Aaron Rodgers. But the on that side, I feel like the D-line did a good job in pressing. Now, here's where they lost again. So many missed tackles, bro. You cannot miss tackles in this league. This looked like late Lovie Smith era tackling by the Bears. Just got awful. It was terrible. It couldn't bring A.J. Dillon down. It couldn't bring Aaron Jones down. And that just pretty much just led to the defense in the running game doing whatever they wanted. I mean, look at what A.J. Dillon and what Aaron Jones did in this game. A total of 38 carries, 203 yards, and a touchdown. Aaron Jones had like 138 of them yards. They had no answer for him. It was great blocking by a Packers offensive line who was missing David Bakhtiari. You know what I'm saying? Just got Jones back who, you know, had been missing a lot of time. But they did a great job of blocking. And I think the thing that, you know, stood out, Roquan Smith did not have a terrible game. That might have been the worst game I remember with Roquan as a pro. And this guy who's asking for generational money, you don't want a performance like that. Now, Roquan, I feel like he'll be fine. He'll get together. But that was just his worst performance I can remember. And Kyler Gordon, man. Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker had a welcome to the NFL moment, especially Kyler Gordon. Aaron Rodgers, like he should, because he's a pro. He's one of the best quarterbacks in history game. I hate him more than anybody on planet Earth, but it is what it is. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks in the game. He did what veteran quarterbacks do, pick on the rookies. And it was a rough game. And I saw a lot of Bears fans getting off the Kyler Gordon bandwagon. Bro, second career start as a starter. Going up against one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. On top of that, he's playing nickel. He's not used to playing nickel. So you got to give him time to adjust. This is a very young team, man. It's one thing you got to understand. It's going to be growing pains, bro. You got to be patient. But one thing that I feel like is very concerning about this defense is the run defense. That's going to be a problem. It was a problem. It's been a problem these first two games. In week one, they allowed the 49ers that have 37 carries, 176 yards, and a touchdown. This week, of course, like I said, 38 carries, 203 yards, and a touchdown. That's a total of 384 yards in two games. That kind of stuff cannot happen. If you're not stopping the run, it's going to be a long night for you. You're not going to face Trey Lance every week. Now, granted, the good thing for the Bears is they're not facing a lot of great quarterbacks this year. Outside of Aaron Rodgers, the only great quarterback they play is Josh Allen. You know, and then Kirk Cousins is probably the best after that, but you know Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is going to give you one. You know what I'm saying? Kirk Cousins can look amazing like he did in week one against the Packers, and he can look like an idiot like he did last night against the Eagles. So those are like the best quarterbacks you're going to play. So there's going to be a lot of times where, you know, the running game is going to be the main option for these teams because they don't have the best quarterback. So you need to stop the run. It's got to be an emphasis here for this defense going forward, man. And I need more from Aquadine Muhammad, bro. I need more. I don't know what you was doing on Sunday, but don't do that no more. I need more from him. I need more from the linebacker core. Nicholas Moore was not good. Just need more. It was just a bad game. I think this game was a reality check in the fact that, and like I said, even though I don't think the Packers are that good of a team, I think that, you know, of course, their aspirations is a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a lot more left in his career. This team ain't Super Bowl quality. But that being said, this just tells you about the gap. The Packers are not, an elite team. They'll make the playoffs. They'll probably win this division. But they're not beating nobody of substance. And you can see the gap between us and the Packers. And if the gap is that big between us and the Packers right now, what do you think the gap is between us and the Rams? You know what I'm saying? Us and the Bills, us and the Eagles. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's a lot. This is the first year in a retool. I'm not going to call it a rebuild. I don't think there's such thing as rebuilds in the NFL because it's huge turnover year. You know, the Bears are going to have the most cap space in the NFL this coming offseason. This is going to be a completely looking different looking team next year. So you got to be patient. I'm stressing patience on this episode, man. Now let's get into the question. Everybody's like, oh, well, the Bears are intentionally not letting Justin throw the ball. I just did a drive-by-drive breakdown for y'all. A lot of these opportunities, and I'm not giving them a pass for throwing the ball 11 times, obviously. You have to throw the ball more than 11 times, especially in a 2023-like offense. Got to throw the ball. That being said, there was a lot of opportunities. There weren't a lot of opportunities to throw the ball. A lot of these drives are very short-lived because they were losing so much yardage and already starting in their own side of the field. So there's a lot of nuance to this conversation. That being said, they need to throw the ball more, and I do feel like that would be a huge point of emphasis. This Texans game coming up is big because if the Bears lose this game, if the Bears lose to the Giants, and I'm not buying the 2-0 Giants crap, I'm just not. Anybody with eyes shouldn't buy it either. If you lose those games, then this might be one of them 3-win seasons that everybody's predicting. These are very important games. This offense has to come out and show out these next two. These are winnable games, bro. You got to go out there and do it. And, you know, Eberflus said in his press conference on Monday that they've been looking at the film. They're going to, you know, focus on throwing the ball more, getting more balance in the offense. He kept lamenting that we have smart coaches. They know what they're doing. And I agree. I'm not going to give up on the coach staff right away. But this is a big situation here. You know what I'm saying? Big situation here. But the number one thing, we're going to get into this now, why I feel like the offense has been so bad these first two games, is two of your best skill position players are not doing good. Let's take a look at it, man. Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet going to file a missing persons report. Darnell Mooney in week one against the San Francisco 49ers. One catch, 8 yards. Darnell Mooney in week two against the Green Bay Packers. One catch, -4 yards. Now, here's a crazy stat. Cole Kmet in week one against San Francisco 49ers. 0 catches, 0 yards. Cole Kmet in week two against the Green Bay Packers. 0 catches, 0 yards. That kind of stuff can't happen. You're getting nothing from your two most talented skill position players on the offensive side of the ball. So how do you expect your offense to move? How do you expect your quarterback to be good when his best wide receiver and a tight end, his starting tight end, aren't living up to their standards, I guess? Well, Cole Kmet don't have no standards. Let's be very clear about that. Darnell Mooney should be playing much better than he's playing right now. Way more. I thought we would get way more than what we're seeing right now. I didn't like how he gave up on that deep thrower on Sunday night. We got to see it. If Darnell Mooney's not getting going, this offense ain't going to do nothing. So that's something they have to get involved in. Cole Kmet, man. I just want to put it on the record. I said Cole Kmet was trash when they drafted him 2 years ago. I wanted Antoine Winfield. I wanted him for sure. You know what I'm saying? I was like, this guy's not good. And we have seen nothing from him to show he's good. This is a make or break for you from him. He's got to step up. And if they can, if Eberflus and Getsy can find a way to get these two players back involved, that would do numbers for the passing game. And I'm gonna give one of these wide receivers. So I'm gonna give Equanimeous St. Brown some love, man. I think this dude can be a solid number two in this offense. From what I've seen, he's been getting open. He's been doing his thing. He's one of the only wide receivers to catch a ball on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Get him more involved. If you can get Darnell Mooney being back, Darnell Mooney again, that's gonna help this team. This has got to be an offense by committee because it's not a talented offense. You don't have a number one receiver. And Bears fan cussed me out when I said Darnell Mooney wasn't number one. He's not number one. On a championship team, he's a 2 or a 3. It just is what it is. But that being said, he can be a productive number two. He has to do that to have this offense be anything more than what they are right now. So that's something that I got to see. You got to do that. And Luke Getsy has to have balance. I do feel like the offense should go through the running game right now because you have a young quarterback in his second year. You don't have a lot of weapons in the wide receiver core. So, yes, I feel like the offense should run through David Montgomery, should run through Khalil Herbert. I have no problem with that. A lot of y'all said that they should give up David Montgomery for Khalil Herbert. How stupid are you looking right now? Go through them. But it needs to be balanced. I have no problem with 35, 38 carries a game for Demo and Khalil. But Justin's got to be in 22, at least 20 passes, 20 to 22 passes a game at the bare minimum. If you have that, then you have balance in your offense. Then you can do things. Then your defense is to stand on the field and getting tired. So that's what they need to, that's what I need to see this coming week against the Houston Texans. Now, as I wrap this episode up, just a little bit on the Houston Texans. We'll go into more detail in the preview pod. Of course, I'm going to be looking at the Texans film over these next couple of days to give some in-depth analysis, but the offense has to come to play. What the offense shows me this Sunday will tell me everything about how this season is going to go. If this offense struggles against the Houston Texans, and by the way, I don't think the Houston Texans are going to get rolled over. I'll say this about the first two games. They didn't win, tied the first one. They're a team that can stick around and be competitive because they're coached well. So this is not going to be a blowout. But if I don't see significant improvement in this offense this week, then you can raise the alarm, because then I feel like it'll be a little concerning that you can't even score points against the Houston Texans, man. So that's something that we got to look up. At the end of the day, man, the NFL is a week-to-week league. I know we're upset. Losing's not fun, especially losing to your most bitter rival on national TV. And, you know, the thing about national TV games, everybody's watching your team. And people who don't watch your team every day are giving bad opinions. You know what I'm saying? Don't know what they're watching. So I know it's irritating, Desmond. But at the end of the day, we 1-1, baby. Everybody in this division 1-1. Everybody. They got a legit shot as anybody else was. Throw this game away, like Coach Ifu said, 24-hour rule. Throw this game away. I'll be up at practice tomorrow, talking to Flus, talking to Justin, getting some locker room access. They lock in first game of the game, first day of the game plan. Home crowd gonna be ready. Let's go out there and get it done, man. Get this offense rolling. Let's get back on the right foot, man. And that's pretty much all I got for y'all today, man. I know I felt like I was a little angry over here. You know, I was just irritated by the fan base. We got to do better, man. We got to do better. Be better. Do better. And, yeah, root your team on. But as usual, I'm your host, Scott. You know to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BarberChatScott. You know to follow my brother, Flos Anilini. Hopefully, he will be back for the preview pod this week. At the worst, he will be back for next week. Recap pod. Keep him in your prayers, man. His voice will get better. He'll stop talking like Doc Rivers. Follow 79th and Hallis, 79th A&D Hallis on Twitter. Follow the Barbershed Network at Barbershed Net on Twitter and Instagram. Visit the Patreon. Subscribe. Patreon.com/Barbershed Network. We got three different tiers for you. Check it out. Visit the BCNet.com. And yeah, man, that's all we got for y'all. We gon', you know what I'm saying? Hopefully this will be a good week. Enjoy your week. I'll be back up at Soldier Field on Sunday, man. And hopefully the Bears can get this dub and go up 2-1, man. We'll holler at y'all. We out.
79th and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 79th.